Praise the Lord. Still getting used to this this start to the service. Let's pray together in Jesus' name. Pray for people on the roads. They suddenly got slick. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for the house of God. We know that that is not the building necessarily, but the people of God. And we thank you that we are together with them tonight. We know, God, it's by your grace and by your blood, O God, that we are one body. We pray, O God, for your Holy Spirit to minister here in this place to each one of us. Anoint our pastor, the minister of the word. Give us ears to hear. Give us a life and a mind and a heart to apply the word of God that we hear tonight. We ask for your blessing, especially upon those of our brothers and sisters who are not able to be here for whatever reason. We pray for your protection for any loved ones on the road. We ask for your blessing in all we do here, for your glory, for your namesake, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you're a guest of ours, we want you to feel at home here. I don't see any unfamiliar faces, but nonetheless, if you're a guest of ours, we encourage you to go to the kiosk or talk to one of the ushers, and we will give you information on how you can get in touch with us to let us know that you were here, and we want to follow up and contact you, let you know how much we appreciate that. If you're online, go to the bit.ly link, CGC Connection bit.ly. That information will be there so that you can let us know that you were with us, and we will show our appreciation to you. Giving options, you can give in the offering box on the kiosk in the vestibule. You can mail it in, you can go to our website, or you can use our church app, Church Center. If you have not downloaded that app yet, you can do that anytime and follow the instructions there to become active on that church app. A couple of announcements. This Friday, January 6th, all church prayer at 7 o'clock. And looking forward, we're going to have a week of prayer and fasting from January 16th to the 20th. Pastor has chosen to do it then to kind of give us a chance to settle down after the holidays and get refocused so that when we do our prayer and fasting, we're able to make whatever commitment we need to make in order to make it worthwhile. Next week, Wednesday, there will be a crew here, and they will be installing new fabric on the pews and the chairs. So we will, yeah, there. It says wait for applause and cheers right on the list here. So as a result, we'll be meeting in the fellowship hall next Wednesday night because we won't be able to meet in here. So come and expecting a great move of God. Amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord together.
Through the water and walk me through the fire. the place where your angels never cease to cry. Just cry home.
It's all right, go ahead. Let's give a clap to the Lord. He is worthy of our praise. Praise God. Praise God. It is so awesome to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Thank you for coming out on such a kind of a rotten night. Had a little bit of everything today, a little bit of rain and a little bit of sleet, a little bit of snow. I guess if our mail can get here, we ought to be able to get here too, right? All right. You can be seated this evening. And I'm excited. This, as Brother Seidel announced, we are going to be having this next week. There's a crew coming in. I believe they'll be here on Monday. And they're going to start tearing all of our taking. They're going to have to pull all the pews up and have to basically take and pull all of the material off, all the padding off. And we're getting new materials and new padding on the pews, and then as well as all of the chairs. So all the chairs on the side. The chairs are going to be a little different color than the pews. We thought we'd go with something a little different this time around. But that'll be happening, and they may take most of the week. I'm not for sure how long exactly they're going to take, but we'll be in the fellowship hall next Wednesday evening. So it'll be a little bit lighter. When I say a little bit lighter service, we're not going to have all of the sound equipment and all of the overhead and video and such that we have in here, but we'll be over there and we'll be able to have service and we'll enjoy it. It'll be a little more intimate, kind of like it used to be, right? When we were over in the fellowship hall, that's where we had church. So we'll be back over there, and I'm excited. It's been a while. It took a long time for us to get the material because of all of the shortages and such and all of the supply issues across the globe. So we got part of the order, but then the rest of the order didn't come, and then it didn't come and didn't come and didn't come. Finally it came, so I hope it's all the same. Hope it all matches. But anyway, so with that, we're gonna talk tonight, and I had mentioned this on Sunday. Our series going into this new year for this first quarter, we're going to be talking about pressing on. And it just seems like there's so many folks today that are struggling, that are stuck. It's seemingly in some sort of a limbo between 2020 and 2023. So many things have happened and so many things have changed in our world. And it's caused a lot of issues with some folks. And I don't want, as a church, I don't want as an individual to be stuck in the past. I want to be able to take and move on and press forward into what God has for us. Because I firmly believe that the darker our world gets, the brighter our lights will shine. And I just believe that. So as we enter into 2023, a lot of people, they like to use the new year as some sort of a reset. We talk about that. We hear about that a lot, about people making New Year's resolutions. They look at all the things they wish to accomplish in the next year or in this coming year and all the changes they wish to make in their lives. They set all kinds of New Year's resolutions, all the way from diets to getting rid of financial debt to changing relationships and all kinds of things. So maybe here tonight, some of you have already started writing down some things that you wish you could change about life. Now, whether it's a resolution or whether it's a goal, it's a good thing if you want to take and make some changes. Just most of us tend to set goals or resolutions without any type of a timetable or any type of a plan to get there. A good case in point is, as I've heard people say, well, I want to lose 40 pounds this year. Okay. How many of you would like to shed a little bit of weight this year? I'm still on my weight loss plan, but the problem is most of us won't sit down and figure out how we're going to get there. We're going to start tomorrow. We're going to start after the holidays. We'll wait till after we're into the new year a week or so. And we'll wait till after all the Christmas cookies and all the Christmas goodies are gone out of the house. My wife told me this past week. She's like, well, she says, what are we going to do with all these Christmas sweets? I said, I don't know. I can't eat them all. I mean, and she's like, well, in the course of the conversation, she tells me that she's got to set some time aside because she wants to bake some more cookies. I'm like, but we just talked about what are we going to do with what we have? She's like, well, I'm going to be giving these away. So anyway, we set goals, but we don't do very well with the follow-up after that, do we? So tonight, before we get too far into this year, we're just going to talk about simple goal setting. And we're going to approach it from a very, very simplistic way. It's not going to be anything technical, but I want to add an extra component on this because I want to set goals that honor God. I want to set goals that honor God. We read in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Proverbs 19, verse 21. Now, I recommend that you read a chapter out of Proverbs every day. So we're at day 4, so somewhere around day 16 and 19, you should be running into these. So Proverbs chapter 19, 21 says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So over the years, I've heard many different opinions on goal setting. Some of those opinions say that goal setting is unspiritual because it shows a lack of trust and that it's unspiritual to plan. And then they bring out the scripture that says, give no thought for tomorrow. Jesus says in Matthew 6:34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. So it becomes a reason not to plan or not to set goals. Now, granted, God doesn't want us to forge ahead in pride without consulting him for direction. I think that's what Proverbs 16:9 and Proverbs 19:21 are alluding to. God says, you know what? You can make plans, but I'm going to establish your steps. And many plans are in your heart. But my purpose, I want it to be my purpose that prevails. So God doesn't want us to forge ahead in pride without consulting him for direction. That's why it's very important that as we sit down and we begin to lay out our plans, our goals for the next year, that we think about where is God taking us? Where is God taking me? Where do I want to be in God by the end of the year? If you want to take and be a lot further along down, if you want to read the Bible this entire year, you're going to have to set a goal to read a little bit every day. A little bit every day. Recently, I back in March of this last year, I many of you know that I'm very much into model railroad and have been for a number of years. And in my basement of my home, I had quite a sizable model railroad, and it was a nice model railroad. If you've been to my home and you've seen it, I had people come from all over the United States in buses, believe it or not, to look at and take pictures of my model railroad. And I worked hard at it, but it was a little bit at a time. And I decided that, okay, I wanted to finish off our basement, and I tore my whole model railroad out. You believe that? It's all gone. And I moved it out to my shop. And then I began to downsize it. And I downsized it so much that I decided that I'm just going to just finish downsizing it and not even going to start it back up again. And my wife told me, she said, you know, there's a lot of winter ahead of us. It's going to be cold. You're going to get bored. You're going to want to do some things. So don't just get rid of all of it right now. Just wait a little bit. And I looked at the task of trying to rebuild this thing. To put it in perspective, I had over 1,000 feet of track. And it was 24 feet by 60 feet long. And I had 5 computers that operated it. And it was pretty proud of it. You can tell. It was a lot of work. So I'm just like, oh, I don't want to do this. And my wife said something. She said, well, if you just do a little bit every day, if you just do a little bit every day. So I decided, okay, I'll just do a little bit every day. So I got back into, and I just go out there a little bit every day, a little bit every day. And you know what? We're making some progress. It's coming back to life. I'm rebuilding it. Now, I said all that to say that there are so many things in our life that apply in the same ways, physically and spiritually. Sometimes we look at the long road and we look at the 40 pounds or we look at the Bible, the whole reading, the whole Bible, and we look at all of this, but it's just a little bit every day, a little bit every day. And if we make those plans, so we forge ahead. You see, God wants us to forge ahead. God wants us to move ahead. He doesn't want us to sit around with acting, without doing anything or without acting, because God has given us, and we've talked about this over the past year, God has given us talents and abilities, and he has called us for a purpose, and he's called us to do good works. We can read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, and Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, and Matthew chapter 15, 14 through 30, where that these all of these principles apply in our lives. So we need to forge ahead without seeking God, or sitting back and doing nothing can stem from either fear or lack of faith. Sometimes we're just afraid. That if I set goals, how many times have you sat down and you went to set goals and you didn't accomplish any of them? And sometimes it's fear, and sometimes it's just we just have lack of faith. However, setting goals and consulting with God concerning your life and your plans shows God that you're trusting him. How many of you trust God with your life? Now we say that. We say that until God puts us in a position where we have to trust him with our life, and then we start looking for alternatives, don't we? Let's just be honest. This is how our human nature can be. So how does one go about setting goals? Well, there's a lot of different ways to approach goal setting. I've taken classes on how to set goals. When I started plumbing business back in 1997, my wife and I took a class, and one of those classes at the UW, they talked about setting business goals. And it's important. If you want to be somewhere or you want to get to a particular point, you've got to set goals. You get ready to go on vacation. You get ready to go somewhere. The Stones are getting ready to go on vacation. I think the Rivers left today for vacation. You know what? They didn't just all collectively get together in the living room this afternoon and said, hey, let's see what airline tickets we can all find and let's go to Florida today. No, you set goals. You set financial goals well ahead of time so you can afford that vacation. And then you start to lay that vacation out. What do you want to do on day one and day two and day three? When do you want to get to the airport? When do you want to get home? All of these things. So when you look at this, there's many ways to approach. Some people look at the big picture. They look at the year. They look at, say, okay, this is where I am. Now, when I set goals, I have goals that are year goals. They're one-year goals. And by the end of this year, this is what I would like to accomplish. And then I have goals that are 4 and 5 years out. That by 4 years from now, I would like to be this far. 5 years, I'd like to be this far. Some of you, Brother Kyle here, is in an apprenticeship. And I'm pretty sure that at some point in time, he had this conversation with his wife, Alicia, that, hey, listen, I've got to have some goals because this is a 5-year apprenticeship, and the 5 years are going to pass whether I complete this apprenticeship or not. Those 5 years are going to pass. So if I want to complete this, I need to set some goals, and you start laying out goals. Now, every goal that he lays out, some of them have priority over others. So an apprenticeship program, you can break those time down into smaller, more manageable chunks. You don't have to look and say, I have to do the 5 years. You have 5 years to do the 5 years. You don't have to fit it all into 2 weekends. You're looking at 5 years. So however, no matter how you set your goals, in the process, it's important to consider the total as to how God made you. Now, I used to get frustrated with goals because I would set goals and I would be very ambitious at times with some of those goals until I realized that I'm fighting literally who I am. Have you ever done that? Have you ever got in a fight with yourself? Some of you have. You know what I'm talking about. You set goals, you set things you want to accomplish, and the biggest fight you have is you. So I just want to encourage you, don't let your goals frustrate you. Use how God made you to help you get to your goal. How God made me is much different than how God made my wife and how God made Brother Tim and Sister Kayla and Brother Dave. We're all different. So how one person does it doesn't mean that's how everybody has to do it. God created you and he created every person on this planet differently. And we all have hands, we all have feet, we all have eyes, ears, noses, all of that stuff. But we all listen and hear and function differently with that. So God created you with different parts. Now, we just came through the Christmas season, and one of my favorite things in Christmas is I love pumpkin pie, okay? I love cherry pie. I love apple pie. I love banana cream pie. I love coconut cream pie. I'm not too fond of pecans. My daughter makes a beautiful pecan pie, but it's just too sweet for me. But anyway, so I've decided tonight we're going to kind of approach our goal setting as looking at a pie. How many of you like pie? How many of you had pie that has had every kind of berry known to man in it? You've had one of those loaded up pies, but typically it's a berry pie or an apple pie. It's a coconut cream. I've never had coconut cream with lemon meringue mixed in with it. I've had coconut cream and lemon meringue. They're different pies. So we have to look at life like a pie, and our pies have separate pieces, don't they? A lot of pies, you can get 6 very generous pieces out of a pie. And each part, each piece is critical to who you are. And all of these parts must be considered when you set your various goals that you want to set. As I said, we all set different goals. We all have different things we want to accomplish in our lives. So how your pie looks is going to be different than how my pie looks. You might have one piece of your pie that's a very small, small sliver. And the rest of your pie may be larger pieces because that's how you've decided to cut your pie. But the bottom line is your pie is your pie, and you can cut it however you want to cut it. And how you cut your pie is going to be different than how everybody else cuts their pie. So when we look at this, so if we look at ourselves and our lives, we can break life down into smaller pieces of that pie. So we can say that we have in our pie, we should all have a spiritual piece of pie. Now, some of us, our spiritual pieces of pie are larger than others. Now, how big your spiritual piece of pie is totally up to you. That is for you to decide. But that should actually be in the pan in which the pie resides in, and it should encompass all that we do. So when you look at our spiritual piece of pie, it is a critical piece of pie to our pan, to our life. So we have friends and we have family. So in that same piece of pie, we have our spiritual piece of pie, but we have a relational piece of pie. We all have relations. We all have we have friends. We have family. We work with people. We sit next to people in church. We go out to dinner with people. So we have this relational piece of our pie. I told you this was going to be very simple tonight. And because we are flesh and blood, we are active in our lives, so we have a physical piece to our pie. Now, the physical piece to our pie, sometimes in our pies, your pie may take up more in the physical sense than someone else's. It just depends upon who you are and what you like to do. Some people, they like to take and spend a lot of time with sports and basketball and football and volleyball and golf and all of these things. There's nothing wrong with having a physical piece of pie in your life or in your pie, but you have to take and make sure that everything flows together. We work, we accumulate value in our work, and that value, whether we like it or not, we have to look at our pie and we have to pull out another piece of pie. We have to fit another piece in here. And that is the financial piece of our life. Everybody here, it takes, whether we like it or not, it takes dollars and cents to operate your household. So to husbands and to wives, you have to understand the larger your pie becomes, the more it costs to maintain or to build or to create. So we can take the financial side of our lives, where that we have our financial piece of pie, and our financial piece of pie can consume the bulk of our pie if we're not careful. The Bible talks about being good Christian stewards, about being good stewards with your money, being good stewards with what God has given you. Sometimes we get that piece of pie is far too large, and our financial burden consumes everything else in our pie. So we have to be careful, because our work, it's also critical, because we spend, whether we like to or not, we spend the bulk of our lives at work. Do you know that? The other second highest consumer of time in our lives is sleep. We spend the bulk of you have a 24-hour day, we spend 8 to 10 hours a day with work or work-related things, maybe 6 to 8 hours of sleep at night, and the rest of our pie has to fit in whatever is left. So we have to be careful, because careers, our jobs, they take that piece of pie that is our job, takes out a big chunk of our life. So we have to make sure that when we set our goals, and we set goals for the year, we set goals for 3 years or for 5 years, we have to take into account all of these different aspects or pieces that have to fit into our pie. Now, I talked about the spiritual piece of pie. A little bit of word of advice here, and this is where I'm talking about setting goals that honor God, is you can take your spiritual piece of pie, and it can be in every piece of your life. God wants to be in the spiritual aspect of your life. He wants to be in your relational piece of your life. He wants to be in the physical piece of your life. He wants to be in the financial piece of your life. And he wants to be in your career, your job piece of your life. Now, to our younger folks that are here, I just listened to someone who has a little bit of life experience here. Okay? I've been working. I started working full-time when I was 16 years old. And as much as I can remember back over my life, there's only been, I think I can think of like 1 week and where that I wasn't actually holding down a job. And that was actually between jobs. So when you look at that, if you fail to give each part, and a very important note here, if you fail to give each part the proper attention and care As you reach your goals and God's purposes and plans for your life, you'll experience problems because life will quickly get out of balance. You want to take and talk about balance in your life. Get married, okay? You have all of those pieces of pie, your pie and your spouse's pie, that now you got to take and work those things together. And then, in my case, I had an apprenticeship, a plumbing apprenticeship, and I'm trying to work a plumbing apprenticeship, working full-time in plumbing, and then building a house at the same time, because we'd started building a home. And in all of that, you have a child that you now have to take and worry about babysitting and getting to and from babysitters and work and all of that. And you have your finances that you have to budget, and you have all of these things, and then you have ministry on top of that, and you have your relationships on top of that, and all of these things can get out of whack extremely quick. I know some of you young couples that are here tonight, and you have little ones at home, and life is hectic. You have a lot of pieces of pie that you are dealing with. So if you fail to give each part the proper attention and the proper care, so that means husbands, you got to take care of your wife. You got to make sure that things are well in the household. You got to communicate. You have to communicate. Communication is very, very important when it comes to talking about pieces of pie. Or life gets out of balance. And balance is a critical key to all and everything that you will ever do in life is balance. Is balance. You see, for example, God created you as a spiritual being. He wants you to love Him with your whole heart, your soul, and your mind. This means that your goals, listen, I wish I would have had and done this when I was in my 20s, but your goals on the physical side of life must agree. I want to repeat this. This means that your goals on the physical side of life must agree with your spiritual convictions and this truth. Because so many times we set goals that are contrary to God's will and God's purpose for our lives. And then we wonder why we get out of balance and we have problems. So, the physical goals, the physical side of life must agree with your spiritual convictions. And if you set goals that conflict with each other in any of these five areas of your life, this is life's experience talking to you right now. You can become fragmented, you can become disjointed, you can become an emotional train wreck. You can have physical issues, you can have spiritual issues, and all of these problems that you deal with because your life is out of balance. You will lose your joy and enthusiasm, not just for living for God, but your joy and enthusiasm in life itself. And what you will find yourself doing is trying to fill up your life with more stuff. I accumulated so much stuff because I was so unhappy and my life was out of balance in all of these five areas. So just understand, life, if you lose your joy and you lose your enthusiasm for life, life will be one series of frustrations after another, and then adding to that, because God also created you and I to need connection with each other, we were not designed to be alone. If one neglects the social aspect of your life and you become all work and no play, I was a workaholic for a number of years. And the reason I was a workaholic, because I was trying to avoid other areas of my life that were out of balance. But at some point, if you're all work and no play, you're going to slam into a wall physically, emotionally, socially, and you will have spiritual troubles because your life has become out of balance. It's that simple. This is really simple. We all have a pie, and that pie has to be balanced. So it's a foolish thing to harm your most important relationships in your life as you pursue any goal. I've known of people that have destroyed relationships because they have goals, and I have to get to that. I have to accomplish. I have to do this. I have to get there. And they destroy relationships. They destroy their marriages. They destroy relationships with their families. They destroy relationships with their friends because they're focused on the end result. And then when they get there, their life is so out of balance that they're not happy. That's why you see so many people today deciding that, well, my life, they seemingly have life made. And people are taking their own lives. It's amazing to me that the level of suicides and how suicide is increasing every year. It gets higher and higher and higher because people's lives have become so out of balance. They just lose control. And once it gets out of balance, it's a very difficult thing to pull it all back together. So there's no doubt that God wants you to fulfill the purposes and work for which he's created for you. In fact, that's your calling. God has given you gifts. He has given you abilities. So we need to be mindful not to neglect any of the areas that make up who you are. As not to dishonor God, yourself, or others while you do his work. God made you who you are. Set your goals according to how God made you. Remember, the world doesn't rest on your shoulders. The world is not your responsibility to make sure that everybody and everything around you is happy. You'll make mistakes in setting goals. You'll make mistakes in fulfilling your purpose. But it's okay. There's nothing wrong with making a mistake. That's how we learn. I tell people all the time, I learned how to ride a bike because I kept crashing. Some of us learn how to drive cars that same way, but nevertheless. You see, it's okay because God wants to see you do his will. God wants to see, God takes great pleasure when we are doing his will. He will teach us the way in which we should walk in faith. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Doesn't this sound like something a good father would say? I'm going to instruct you. I'm going to instruct you and I'm going to teach you in the way that you should go. And I will counsel you. That means I will give you advice. If we have our spiritual piece of pie in the right perspective, if our spiritual piece of pie is intermingled with every piece of pie that we have, I will instruct you, I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. So, we have to understand, in the Bible, God says that he knows the amount of hairs on our head and that he knew us before he formed us in our mother's womb. I'm amazed when I stare out at the sky at night. I love to go outside and I love to stare out. I love the nice, crisp, cold winter nights because the sky seems to be so crisp and so clear. To be able to look up in the sky and be able to see the moon and see the stars that are just suspended in space and know that the God that I serve is the God that put all of that there. And that he's holding us. He's holding me. I love that he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got us in the palm of his hands. And nothing gets out of his control. He doesn't miss anything. A day doesn't go by when he's like, oops, I missed something today. God knows. God cares. He chose you. He chose me, and we cannot forget that. We need to live like we have been set free as Christians. As a born-again believer, I have been set free. We should not be in bondage to anything. There should not be anything in your life that's holding you captive. If you're born-again believer in Jesus Christ. So let's stand this evening. I told you this was going to be very, very simple. But I want to challenge you as we go into this next year. A lot of times we get to the end of the year and we get frustrated because we didn't accomplish what we wanted to accomplish. And a lot of that is simply because we just didn't take the time every day to do that little thing that we need to do to get us to where we need to go. So I don't know tonight, as our musicians, our praise team can come. You see, God, we spoke on this on Sunday morning about our church community, our church family. We were meant to be in a community with other believers. When we're real with each other, we can see that special something inside of each one of us that God has put there. When we're real with each other, it just kind of comes out. And we have to be good stewards of our time. Your time is a gift. God has given each and every one of us 24 hours in a day. I've worked with people that are somehow their masters at wasting time and not getting anything done. And I've worked with other people that are like, wow, man, this guy can get a lot done in a day's time. So let's not waste as we go into this year. Yeah, there's times where you just, yeah, sometimes it's good to just rest and just waste time if you can afford it. But let's not waste time with trivial things or the things that separate us from God. Identify what God has given to you, the gifts that God has given to you, the abilities and the talents. Refine them and use them for him. If you're not for sure what they are, do a Bible study on it. Get into the Word of God. Dig in. I believe that this year is going to be a very different year. I believe that there's going to be a lot of things happening in our world that are going to shake this world, but it should not shake the church, because we are built, should be built on a solid foundation. So we have to give God credit for what's good in our lives. Sometimes it's scary to share about your relationship with God. I've been doing a lot of reading about evangelism, how to get a whole church involved in evangelism. The easiest way to get a whole church involved in evangelism, Brother Seidel, is just everybody just share what God has done in their life. Everybody, Bishop used to say this, each one win one. Everybody just share what God has done. So as we open up this altar area tonight, I just want us to just reflect tonight. Take this time to reflect, relax, work through your goals, changing, adjusting, but never stopping. When things come your way, when there are roadblocks, you adjust and you move on. You press forward. Philippians 1:6, Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, and he says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. What God has begun in each and every one of our lives, he's going to complete what he has started. God bless you tonight as we worship. When we set our goals for this year, we have our spiritual goals, our spiritual peace, our relationship peace, our physical peace, our financial peace, our career peace. All of these are all areas that we set goals in our life. And if we want our goals to honor God, we will have a spiritual peace, a spiritual aspect to every goal. So that means you'll have a spiritual, a relationship peace that has a spiritual aspect to it, a physical peace that has a spiritual aspect, a financial peace, and a career peace. So we want God to be in every aspect, every piece of our pie, every piece of our goal setting. So God bless you. Don't forget, nothing is going to change if you don't sit down and actually do something about it. Have to take action. Have to do something. So God bless you. Drive careful out there. We will see you back here. on Friday evening. We have our all-church prayer meeting, so we'll be back here Friday evening, and then service will be on Sunday morning at 10. God bless you.